I want to ask right off the bat, trying to you know, read up on you and your story and your ascension to this point right here, Everett. For a young kid in Detroit, how is it or why is it that Mike Greer and George LaRocque played such an important role, perhaps, in where you stand and sit right now?
Yeah, I mean, it was that was the first time I'd ever sat and really watched a hockey game. I was in third grade, and I went home to watch a Red Wings game. A lot of my classmates, a lot of my friends were all big hockey fans, and at that age, you want to fit in. So I went home and watched the game, and the Oilers were on TV, and I remember seeing Mike Greer, George LaRocque playing for the Oilers, and I was running through the house. I was so excited to see, two black faces, two people who look like me playing hockey. I don't think I need to tell you that historically and fairly or unfairly, hockey has been considered a predominantly white sport. Thankfully, that's changing now over the past decade, and a lot more black players and players of color are becoming integral members of the NHL. But to be 8, 9, 10 years old, seeing somebody who looks like you playing at a high level, that's what really did it for me, and that's what let me know that hockey is for anyone, and I have a place in this game.
Ev, talk to me about finding your place in the game. There are nationally and with teams locally, as progressive as the NBA is, there are, and I'm fortunate to be one of four, and I'm not full-time play-by-play people in basketball. It just seems, I mean, it's not happening in hockey, and here you are when, I heard we were having you on, and it was a slap the forehead moment, like, dang, we got a black man calling hockey. What, that is fabulous. Where did you get your start? Tell me about coming up. You got to get reps somewhere. And I'm sure you ran into some obstacles, to say the least.
Yeah, it all started at Bowling Green State University. That's where I went to college. That's where I fell in love with broadcasting and the hockey media world. I did play-by-play at Bowling Green for 3 years. I was a color analyst my 3 years prior to that while I was still in school. So I really, that's where the love developed, and that's where, I found my voice and I found my style. After that, I was fortunate enough to see the league office side of things. I worked in the USHL Junior League, their office in Chicago for a year and a half. Went to Youngstown with the USHL to get back on the microphone and continue that PR and the communications role. And now I've been here in Cincinnati for the last 5 years doing the same thing, broadcasting and PR, marketing, social media, things like that. So it's been a career with a lot of stops. And you said it. I mean, there have been the ups. There have been the downs. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said it was completely smooth sailing. But it's one of those things where I've known since I was 18, since that first broadcast in school, that the NHL was going to be the goal. Being a broadcaster in some capacity in the National Hockey League is where I wanted to go. And I wasn't going to stop, and I wasn't going to let anyone get in my way until that happened.
Speaking with Everett Fitzhugh, the play-by-play voice for the Seattle Kraken. Everett, how did this all come together, the job with Seattle? I was doing some research leading up to the interview with you today, and I read a piece that talked about you and your, I believe it was then girlfriend, now fiance, if I have it right, but you were in Seattle, and you were sitting out on a patio near the hotel or on a rooftop, and then here you are almost a year later awaiting an interview with the Seattle franchise before they were even known as the Kraken. How did it all come together for you in terms of the application process, the interview process, and then ultimately landing the job?
Yeah, it's honestly hard to believe that rooftop was like literally a year ago within the last couple of days. Like, we are about 360 some odd days removed from that. It's crazy. I was talking to her about that the other day. But it all came about purely, by accident, I think. Ryan Clark, who writes for The Athletic. He's the Colorado Avalanche beat reporter for The Athletic. He included me in a profile that The Athletic was doing for their Black History Month coverage. So he did a story on me and my journey and my career path. And Todd Leiwicki, the CEO of the Kraken, reached out to me. And again, I had no idea that he'd read my article. And when I actually got the email that said he wanted to talk to me, I first thought it was spam for a second. I was like, there's no way an NHL executive is reaching out to me. So I followed up on it, thankfully, and it was Todd, and he said he was inspired by my story and loved to hear more about me and wanted to know if, you know, I'd be interested to hear about what they're building in Seattle, and of course I was. So we talked, we kept in touch. Obviously, COVID flipped a few things upside down, as I'm sure you're aware, and he said he was still building, and he gave me a call in May. And that is when the official interview process started, mid to late May. So 3 or 4 Zoom calls later with their staff, a couple of phone calls and a flight out there, I was offered the job about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Ev, what are you most looking forward to? I mean, you're, you know, it was interesting because when the NBA came into our lives, people stopped and said, oh, you've made it now. And you kind of look around, you go, no, man, now the work starts. what are you most looking forward to?
That's it. I mean, you said it right there. I think getting the job was the easy part. Now the hard part begins. You know, we have such a long runway as an organization in Seattle leading up to next season and trying to build that fan base and continue to build that hype and to get people excited. We're still in the process of working out a lot of things, the broadcast deals and things like that. So my role with the team hasn't even been officially assigned. I mean, I know that I'm going to be a prominent member of that broadcast team, but in the first year, there's going to be a ton of speaking engagements. There's going to be a ton of digital content, web content, features, lots of community events. You know, we really have an opportunity with a 4-state radius, Washington, Alaska, Oregon, Idaho, to really reach an entire new group of fans. And I think for me personally, that's what I'm most excited about, coming in on the ground floor, being able to watch this whole thing come together and over the next year and watch the excitement continue to grow. And my goal for next fall is when opening night is, whatever opening night is, there's not an empty seat in the house. There's not an empty bar stool in town. Like I hope the entire city is as excited as I am, as the entire organization is about bringing, you know, pro hockey back to the Pacific Northwest.
Speaking with Everett Fithue, the new play-by-play voice for the Seattle Kraken. Everett, I'll say on a personal level, I think I speak on Jonesy's behalf as well. I'm jealous in the sense that you get to go to Seattle, that you get to move to Seattle, because we both have missed that city greatly since the Sonics no longer exist in Seattle. And I've got to imagine, and maybe this is a question better served to you in a couple of years when you've been in the market and you know the Seattle market that much more, but I got to imagine that the Kraken going into Seattle with the fan base that already exists, certainly with the Seahawks and with the Mariners, it can't be long until the NBA is back with either an expansion franchise or a relocated franchise bringing basketball back. Because for all the reasons you just talked about, that is a city rich in its sporting history, let alone its rabid fan base for all sports.
You know, that's my hope. You know, I really hope that Climate Pledge Arena is home to the Seattle Supersonics 2.0 here in the next, you know, 5, 10, however many years. I definitely think that the NBA is poised for a comeback there. And, you know, I was a fan of those 90s Sonics teams. So I was a little bit heartbroken myself when they left the NBA. I've got some family out in Seattle, so I've always considered myself a little bit of a closeted Mariners, Seahawks fan as well. But that town and that organization and the community has been fantastic. We went out there for our interview, and my fiance and I were walking around town, and we looked at a couple of apartments, and you can feel it, you can hear it. Everybody was saying, you know, we have a brand new hockey team coming here, right? You know that the NHL is coming to Seattle. Like, everybody was just so excited, and they could not wait for it. It's been a while since they've had, a winter pro sport, Big Four sport in the market. So, you know, I can only imagine how well this team is going to do, and it definitely will do well. I mean, I think they have a high bar to hit with Vegas making the Cup final their first year. But I'm with you. I think within a few years, you're going to hear the rumblings and you're going to see, you know, talks of an NBA team. I can definitely see that in sooner rather than later with the excitement that's being built already around the hockey team.
Ev, I'm guessing you, I mean, growing up a hockey fan and in Detroit, like the Wings probably have a little bit of a place in your heart. So you, I read where you were talking about, you know, you can't wait to get have the game at Little Caesars Arena. But what other arenas, you know, especially maybe some of the original six, are there some places that you're really looking forward to getting to and getting behind the mic in certain buildings?
Yeah, I mean, the Detroit, obviously, number one, because it's my hometown. I grew up because of Mike Greer and George the Rock and later Anthony Carter. I grew up an Oilers fan. So I have to imagine my first game in Edmonton is going to be huge. Montreal, Toronto, MSG, I mean, those are all buildings that I cannot wait to be in any kind of capacity. I've never been to MSG. I've never been to either of the buildings there in Toronto or up in Montreal. So those buildings, I think, are the ones that I'm most excited about. I had an opportunity to go to Chicago when I worked in the USHL League office when they were playing the Bruins in the Cup final a few years back, and being able to be there for that in that atmosphere was amazing. So I can only imagine what, you know, broadcasting a game and being there for a game is going to be like. But again, like I said, for me, the opportunity to get to the NHL and to be able to do this, you know, in any one of 32 cities is going to be amazing. But I think those cities that I just mentioned are probably the ones that are going to be high up on my list.
Well, Everett, I know we haven't met before, but you can add me to the long list, I'm sure, of people that are looking for the swag and the merchandise and whatnot. Because, again, as I said off the top, I love the name. I love the logo. I'm thrilled for you as well, you know, to join the Kraken. And I look forward to listening to the broadcast and watching the broadcast in the future. So thanks for joining us on the show. And no doubt we'll talk again at some point down the road.
Guys, thank you so much. This was an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it.